from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And here we go, 1 week to the Super Bowl, and this is Locked On Chiefs. We are back to take a look at what's going on. A number of Chiefs went to the Pro Bowl. We're going to talk about them here in a little bit. We also had a very, very interesting cap experiment that Chris ran, and we're going to talk all about those numbers and what he was able to accomplish looking at managing those numbers. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and you can find my stuff over at Chiefs Digest.
And I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com and a staff writer at Arrowhead Addict.
Now, before we get into all that, just a reminder that if you're new to the show, hit the subscribe button. It's iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and all that good stuff. But if you found us here during this last weekend from all of the tweeting on the Senior Bowl and prospects and things that are coming up, make sure you're subscribed. We're going to talk about that a ton. You're going to find most of our information on that as the offseason goes forward on LockedOnChiefs.com. I may have a couple of things at Chiefs Digest as well, but keep that in mind. We are going to talk Senior Bowl recap, especially the positions specific to the Chiefs here tomorrow, as well as a little bit of quarterback talk, because we're going to have to do that. And then we want to let you know now, just so y'all are prepared for it. We had a great talk with Amy Trask, the former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, and we're going to have that show on the air for Wednesday. So keep an eye peeled for that. Make sure you subscribe so you get automatically. It was great. She had some great insight about the league in general, but also some very cool comments about the Hunt family, Lamar and Clark. And so it's something you don't want to miss. Now, a little bit of negative news over the weekend, Pro Bowl weekend, KPL, or was it before? I can't remember. KPL got arrested. Kevin Pierre-Louis was arrested for marijuana possession, I guess, and which is hard for me to delineate because I live in a state where it's legal. So I don't know the circumstances. We haven't seen too much about it, but we wanted to let you guys know. He'll be part of our discussion with the ILBs when we go over the position review here in the next couple of weeks. But, Chris, what's your reaction?
Really hard to have much of a reaction. Yeah, it's illegal, and it, you know, I'm not trying to disagree or agree with the federal law, whatever. It's not what you want, especially, honestly, for him, it's even worse than I would feel like it would be for some other people, because he's a guy that is looking, trying to get paid this offseason. Couldn't have happened at a worse time for him, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree, man.
And it wasn't just the weed. It was also driving without driving on a suspended license, I think, as well.
I didn't know that.
So it wasn't just a marijuana charge. It was also the fact that, you know, didn't have a license and didn't have a license plate on the car, I believe, from what I read. So lots of different questions on that, which don't make sense, but.
When we know more specifics, we'll bring it up and let you guys know as well. But definitely for a guy that, like Chris said, is a free agent, is going to get a contract this next season based on a solid year, albeit his first year playing significantly at the inside linebacker position for the Chiefs. But the Chiefs need to re-sign him probably. He's been in their plans. If this puts the kibosh on that, that changes this offseason's path quite a bit. So we're going to talk about the ILBs I'm not sure, probably the week after next, if everything goes according to plan. We'll see. And we'll definitely have to consider that. And if we find out something in between, then we will have to comment on that as well.
Well, and I don't know that it really puts a kibosh on it, but I think it really lowers his value that he's going to get. And maybe it won't. Maybe the Chiefs will end up giving him the type of deal that he was expecting to get anyway. Maybe the Chiefs decide, you know, with this, that they don't want to do that, and some other team will give him the deal that he wants elsewhere. All it takes is one team, but really bad timing for a kid like that.
Yeah, it's disappointing to see. It's one thing if you live someplace where it's legal, but you have to not only pay attention to the NFL's rules, which is about partaking.
Even if it was legal, that's a dumb move to get caught with that, because now, you know, they're going to be asking questions about testing for it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You know, the NFL is going to test for it. It's one thing if it's legal and you can, you know, drive in a car with somebody else or whatever, but being in possession yourself, being under the influence possibly, That's just something that at this point in your career, when you're trying to get that second contract, which is probably the epitome of every guy who struggles, who isn't a first or second round pick, you know, that second contract is what you need. Just poor timing and probably a really poor decision.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, that may play into it. Right now, he is not part of the salary cap for 2018 until he does sign something. So the salary cap's the big thing. A lot of a conversation, and we've had him as well, with a number of people about the trade of Alex Smith. We still feel that's pending, and that should happen. But the big deal is one of the major things driving that is the relief that it'll provide for the salary cap. But he's not alone, is he?
No, he's not. There's definitely a lot of different guys that could be released to, you know, open up a lot of salary cap space. Kansas City is looking at being $8 million over right now, and that doesn't include different money for Darrell Revis. And so they are in a very bad situation cap wise, you know, but with, you know, a flurry of moves, I was able to get Kansas City to where they had $56 million in cap space for 2018.
Good Lord, that's a flurry. Okay, you got to run through that for us.
Yeah, well, obviously the biggest one is Alex Smith. You know, that's going to save you $20 million against the cap, and that's going to save you $17 million in cap, or it's going to save you $17 million because it's still going to cost three. You know, I think both of us can agree that that's more than likely going to happen. I guess it's maybe not a 100% guarantee, but I don't know how much more of a guarantee you could really get other than. It makes sense for Kansas City to do at this point. Unfortunately, you know, that's just a position you can't afford to pay with a guy like Pat Mahomes waiting in the wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. Now, by the way, which tool were you using to do this this experiment?
I'm using Over the Cap, their salary cap calculator, which is amazing. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. But it is a phenomenal tool. So really enjoying using that. So you have Alex Smith. That's the easiest one. That would give you $3.6 million in dead space, which is a bit of an issue. But, you know, with what it will clear up, I think it's going to be better than what it wouldn't. And then the next one would be Derek Johnson. That is a cut that it looks like does not give you any kind of dead money.
Wow, I did not realize that. None at all, huh?
That's what it looks like from what I'm seeing. But I think both of us can agree that that's probably going to be a move that happens. Maybe not a cut per se, maybe a restructure, but he's going to have to take a pay cut if he wants to stay in Kansas City.
Yeah, but I do have a tendency to think that it is going to be a cut and a re-sign of a fresh contract.
Yeah, it could be.
That's my guess.
Yeah, because his cap number in 2018 is $10.25 million. So,
yeah, that's going to have to happen.
Yeah, going to have to work on that. So then at that point, like I said, you're still close to $56 million. The next move is Tomahawk Lee.
And that's a cut as well, right?
Yep. And I can't see them bringing him back unless he's ready to play for a veteran minimum. And I don't even know that he would be worth it at that point.
That's the big question. And that's kind of how I feel about the two of them together. I think Derek Johnson is a guy that if they did choose to do that, and he has said that he wants to play next season and that he wants to be a Chief. And if that's the way it rolls out, then if they let him go and you get that cap savings and you can re-sign him for something, you know, I don't think he's diminished to the point that a veteran minimum is all he's going to get, but it's not going to be a whole lot higher than that, I don't think. Right. Did you look at adding him back in on that kind of salary?
No, I did not. I was just looking. I was trying to see how much can they clear is really the way I was looking at this. The next move would be D Ford. And he's got a cap number of $8.7 million. And that is before we even talk whether or not we should cut him, that is contingent on him being healthy enough to play and pass his physical. Because if he's not healthy enough to play, they can't do anything because it's already guaranteed for injury.
Right. Yeah, that's the big thing. It is absolutely guaranteed. That's part of the fifth-year option. When teams choose to use that, it is built in case they are injured. So he's got to come back healthy. He's got to come back in a way that they can evaluate him. And if he is cleared to play, then they can make that decision whether they feel any impetus to move on from him, right?
Right.
Okay. Then we can have the discussion about whether they should or not.
Right. Which, that's still a discussion that, you know, you think he shouldn't, I think he should, but, you know, that's all going to just...
Right? That's a rabbit hole we're going to do another day, right? We'll look at that when we do the position review.
Yeah, because that's a deep rabbit hole that will continue to go down and down and down.
We should do that in person so I can actually throw things at you.
Yeah, if you want to, because you think you're going to be the only one throwing things. Good luck with that.
All right. All right. So for this exercise, D Ford is cut.
Yep.
All right.
The next one is Alan Bailey.
Okay.
His cap number for 2018 is $7.97 million, which is awfully high for him. And I do want to specify at this point, with all these other moves, I feel like that they are going to have to be done. This is not one that I necessarily like to make. I see it as a possibility, but I was just looking at this as trying to come up with what is really the maximum number that Kansas City could come up with in cap space. And so he was a casualty.
Does that mean that you cut him? It wasn't like a renegotiate or anything or an extension?
Yeah, all these are cuts.
All these are cuts. Okay.
All these are cuts. Because, like I said, I was trying to get to what is the maximum they could have.
Okay.
And at that point, that's the way I was looking at it. So maximum value, this is what they could have. So then you cut Alan Bailey. Then the next one would be Ron Parker.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Obviously, we'll do that at the position review too, but tell me, if you cut Ron Parker, what's your plan for his position?
Didn't say I had a great one.
Because that's what I think makes it tough about that one is I don't think either of the guys that are on the roster currently are ready to play his role.
And that's fair. And I guess where I'm going with this is I was looking at what I've seen around people saying, okay, well, we could cut this guy, we could cut this guy, we could cut this guy. And that's kind of the way I was looking at it.
Okay.
Now, whether or not it's, going to happen, I don't think that's going to happen. I can't imagine that they would move on from him. But he was one of those guys that's been mentioned, so I cut him.
Gotcha.
And okay. It frees up. He goes from being a almost $7 million cap number in 2018 to not costing them that much.
So they get how much dead money penalty do they have to pay for that?
Let's see. Ron Parker is going to cost them. Oh, they get a full gain on that. So
wow.
No penalty on Parker.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's maybe gonna be a discussion too.
Well, and maybe, yeah, and again, I'm not saying I want to do that, but it's one of those things. It would get them to where most cap space available.
Okay. All right.
Next one, you're going to enjoy Daniel Sorensen.
Ah, okay. I have to agree. I think he's completely overpaid for what he does, but there's a pretty hefty dead money penalty there, right?
Yeah, they only gained 1.8. Yeah, they only gained 1.8 million.
Okay. So what is that, three-ish in dead money?
Okay. It's exactly what it is, $3 million in dead money.
Okay.
The next one is Darrell Revis.
Okay.
He's got a $4.5 million cap number, but it's 100% savings if you cut him.
All right. And I think that's probably a 50-50 at this point. One of the discussions we're going to have, you think it's a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, because that doesn't include the 4.5 doesn't include an escalator that gets him close to 10. a couple days after the new league year starts.
Ah, okay. Which is March 4th?
Somewhere around there. And I can't imagine Kansas City's going to keep him for that kind of money.
Yeah, and I have to agree. That's really the big thing. I didn't see him staying. I thought maybe they might renegotiate somehow with a cut and whatever, but I guess we'll have to see.
And, well, maybe they do a restructure, but you know, maybe. Again, not really looking at that, kind of just looking at what they can clear. Okay. The next one would be Demetrius Harris.
You'll get no argument from me. In fact, I found the guy at the Senior Bowl that I think I want to replace him. I'll tell you all about that probably in the next day or two.
Yeah, and he would be a $200,000. He would cost you $200,000 in dead money, but he would save you $2 million. So.
Okay.
And then the next one is Charkandrick West.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
But he only frees up 1.5.
Okay.
And again, like I said on the others, not saying that they necessarily need to go and make these moves, just moves that I've seen other people talk about that are possibilities. And there's probably some others that may be possible, but that aren't really going to clear a lot of cap space. But that gets them close to, that gets them to $56.5 million. In free cap space.
Sure, sure.
Now, yeah, you're going to have to go and create a whole bunch of signings or, you know, use your draft picks wisely. But, you know, there you go. That's how you get to $56 million in cap space.
Okay, so let's talk about that. And that's the point of the exercise, folks, is Chris is trying to create as much space. This is kind of a new leadership in Brett Veach. If he wants to sever all the ties for some of the more expensive players, maybe he agreed with the contracts John Dorsey worked out. Maybe he didn't. Particularly things like Sorensen, I think, is probably a deal that he was overpaid. Tom Bahali was overpaid. Derek Johnson may have been. And it's borderline. He did fall off precipitously, but as he was a couple years ago, I wouldn't have called that contract overpaid at the time.
But also injuries, I think, took their part on him.
I agree completely.
If he doesn't get injured, I don't think he's considered overpaid because I think he's still playing at a higher level.
All right, I understand. So let's take it a step farther. Or did you do this already about which free agents that you re-sign and then how much cap is left?
Nope, I didn't look at free agents to sign. I just looked at how much cap they could create because at this point, signing, I can't feel right about giving a specific values to different players.
Right. And if I know those calculators, in fact, I'll pull it up here so I can look at it as well. Yeah. You have the options basically to apply a tag or to do an extension. But let's just, for the sake of argument, go through them. I think Benny Logan's going to command as much, if not a little bit more than he made last season. And given their ranks, how do you feel about that? If they were to re-sign him?
Wouldn't like it.
Okay.
Don't think he's, I think maybe for $4 million a year, maybe, but you know, we kind of had this discussion the other day. I think that he needs to probably not be playing that as much. And with paying him that kind of money, he has to play on a regular basis. So, I don't like it for the money that he got last year.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And especially when you have a guy that's got knee injuries and they're giving him practice time off, that's just not a good sign moving forward. Because you're also not going to want him on a one-year deal, and he's not going to want to be in a one-year deal.
Right. We talked about Derek. Here's a big one for me in that relatively he's an expensive player. Do you think that there's a reason to bring Dustin Colquitt back on a contract?
Depends on what he wants.
Okay, so give me what you think is reasonable.
One and a half, maybe.
1.5. Okay, yeah, that's what we should do. Is what's the thing is? Would you want him back? And if so, at what cost? Okay, so 1.5 for Colquitt. That makes sense. That's basically more than you're going to pay a rookie if you're looking for a rookie punter. I know they've had a couple in camp. Anybody like that is going to be less than $1 million a year. So. It's a pretty significant cut coming down from 3.7, which Colquitt made last season. But I can see where you're coming from.
He was not one of the best punters in the NFL, which is what got him the contract he got before.
Right. And it's the first year in his career we can say that.
Right.
He's another guy who's been here just as long as – I think it drafted the same year as Derek Johnson, right?
Yep. Third round.
So been here a long time and has started to hit that wall as well. So I can understand where you're coming from. We talked about Albert Wilson in the past. I think you and Seth both feel like he's going to be priced out of what the Chiefs could spend on him. I'd probably bring him back for something around four. But again, I think I found a couple of guys in the Senior Bowl in particular and definitely in this draft that might be able to do a similar job to him.
Yeah, I would not do it for $4 million.
Okay.
That's me.
Let's see. Maybe, you got to have Sherman back, right?
I know it's not much, but maybe 3.5 I would consider, but $4 million, I think you're just pricing yourself out at that point.
Okay. Next guy, we got to have Anthony Sherman back, right? I mean, this is like a no-brainer.
I'll let you think what you want to think on that one.
Well, you know what I think. If I'm Brett Veach, I mean, I'd resign him tomorrow. He's not going to make a whole lot of money. I think he's on a $1.25 million this season. He's not going to get much more than that, and I think you can afford that. And I think he's a guy that brings juice to both the special teams as well as when you need him in the backfield. But you would not have him back?
It honestly depends on what he's going to command as a salary. If you can get him back for that kind of money, then yeah, I think you bring him back. But I think he's going to want. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's not going to want more than that, and he'll sign a short-term deal. I just think that that's a position, and I already know we disagree on this, but I think that's a position that's going away in the NFL overall. And we've already had this discussion as well, that it's possible that they could use Spencer Ware for as much as they use a fullback mm-hmm. in that role.
Yeah, and that is an interesting option. So, I mean, I don't think it hurts to have him on the roster no matter what, but that's me, and we all know how I feel about that. So we're going to talk about this tomorrow.
On the roster.
Well, at least two. You got to have a spare, you know. One is none. Two is one. Next guy, and we're going to talk about him in our discussion tomorrow, Tyler Bray. Is he a guy that you want back as the third quarterback because you know he's not going to push for a backup role?
Well, you wouldn't think he is going to. I think that they bring him back. They've invested so much in him. Whether or not I agree with it, they like him. So I think he comes back. I just don't know what kind of deal he comes back on.
Okay. Spiller, obviously, is going to resign six times next season. Jarvis Jenkins, do you bring him back?
Yeah, for, you know, $1.5 million, maybe.
Okay.
I think
which is double his current salary. You don't think he's going to get much more than that on the market, right?
No, I don't. And I guess I didn't realize that was double his current salary. Then maybe only $1 million. I just don't think that he's not going to be a starter wherever he goes unless he's on a very weak team. So, and
that may be fair.
That's
but he's a guy that's, and he played more snaps this last season than he has previously. So yep. Maybe somebody sees him as an ascending player. I don't think many see Philip Gaines as an ascending player. I have a sneaky suspicion that the coaching staff feels better about Philip Gaines than we do.
I guarantee
I'm not going to rule it. Yeah, but I'm not going to rule it out, but I have a hard time seeing him back in a meaningful role given how far he declined in 2017. One guy that I would like to see back, I thought, put in some useful snaps, Stephen Terrell. You know, that hybrid defensive back. I thought he played well at safety. I thought he gave you some good snaps. He was on a $690 contract this year. I expect you can get him for one or 1.2, and that's probably the going rate and right about where he might get from somewhere else. Jordan Devy, can he make this roster next season, let alone would you want to have him back for what you probably have to pay him after getting some snaps, probably $1.5 to $2 million?
I would hope he's not able to make the roster next season.
I would hope so as well. Here's my big question mark, and I just don't know how to answer this, either what I think will happen or what I want to happen. DeAnthony Thomas. And it is season on a big injury, but man, he has provided spark at times.
Yeah, I would like him back because I don't think he's going to get a great salary. I would even give him $1 million or $1.5 million a year to come back because I think his value And he's got more passion than I ever thought he would have for somebody his size. He's willing to go and do the dirty work as well. And I think he's a great gunner. So I think there's value there.
Okay. I can't argue. I kind of like that plan myself. Especially that cost. I think that's reasonable. And I think he's poured his soul into this. So I think they want to keep guys that are involved.
And I also think that it's going to be hard for him to get much better than that, especially with the injury he just had.
Yeah, that's probably really likely as well. We talked briefly about KPL, played at 650 this last season. If they're looking for him, despite this last brush with the law here, if previous to that they're planning on him being a starter, they have to be prepared to pay him starting money, right?
Yep.
So you're talking what, 3, 4, maybe 5?
Yep.
Average. I think that probably knocks him down, this off the field incident. Do you still sign him if it's you?
I do. I think I saw enough positive from him to think that he's ascending as a player still. He's got it. The one nice thing about him is I think his body, and this is going to sound weird, but I think his body is a lot different than most players his age. Yes, he's been playing special teams, but he hasn't been taking the every down snaps at middle linebacker because Bobby Wagner was taking those in Seattle. So he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his body, and I think he's just going to get better with more time in the defense.
Yeah, he's like a 4-year-old car that only drove on the highway and didn't drive that much, you know.
Well, and unlike DJ Alexander, he gives you the potential to play. So I understand KPL didn't make any kind of Pro Bowl, but you know what? Regular defensive players are more important than Pro Bowl special teams guys.
Yeah, I agree. And so, I have some thoughts on him that we're going to save for the inside linebacker position role discussion that we're going to have in the next week or two. So keep an eye out for that, folks. I think we're going to disagree about this one. Terrence Mitchell.
You think we're going to disagree on it?
I don't know. We'll see.
I would bring him back, but I already know what you're going to say.
I don't think you do.
I don't think he's going to get a great contract elsewhere.
See, I'd only pay him about $1.25 million, $1.5 million on average a year, and I think somebody will pay him more than that. I don't agree with it. I don't think he's worth it, but I think somebody probably will. We'll find out.
If you have him as your third or fourth CB, I think you're in pretty good shape. Or fourth CB, I guess, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm okay with that. And that's why I think, you know, $1.25 million a year, maybe even $1.5 million, that's an average salary that I think they can live with for what's going on currently in the league, where you need as many corners as you can get. And he plays well at times. So we talked about Zach Fulton in detail the other day with Seth. So I think you guys all know where we stand. We think someone's going to give him a lot more money than the Chiefs are willing to pay him. Ken Acker is the last unrestricted. You bring him back, and if so, for what money?
I wouldn't. I just don't think I don't think there's big value there. I mean, maybe on vet men, but on a 1 or 2 year deal, but only if he's willing to play for close to the vet minimum for his years of experience. But the problem is that if you go and give a guy like that position, you're basically shooting yourself in the foot for producing younger talent.
And that's where I stand too. That's a position, the fifth cornerback. Although I'll give him credit for coming in and playing where he needed to play and playing under pressure when they threw him in there when Terrence Mitchell was struggling. I give him credit for that. But for a fifth CB, which is all he should be, I'd rather get a young guy in there. There's a number of kids that I could suggest that are going to be in this draft that would be perfectly fit into that role, play special teams, and be the fifth corner. The rest of these quote-unquote free agents are either restricted or exclusive rights restricted. That includes Ramique Wilson and Raheem Nunez-Roches, who I think has to be probably the first guy that they put a tender on and get that out of the way. I would say probably a fairly significant tender. Get him paid a little bit and make sure that they get him back.
I think they're going to put a second-round tender on him.
Yeah, I think Ramique Wilson is probably a guy that – is going to get a low tender and may get an offer from someone else. He may be back. He may be not. That, I think it's going to be more up to the market than the Chiefs, whether Ramique Wilson returns or not.
Yep. And he just doesn't have, to me, he doesn't have value on this team because he doesn't play special teams.
And that's the big issue. And when he does, he doesn't have much of an impact. I think Terrence Smith is a guy who has more impact. He's an exclusive rights free agent. I think he'll be back as well as Keith Baxter, just because of the situation with their contracts. So, folks, that's our detailed look at what this free agency is. Chris did the cap space. These are the free agents. I think we're going to see some movement. And hopefully, given that we're, little bit over a month out from the start of the new league year, we're going to start to see some movement here after the Super Bowl. So that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. We are going to go through some Senior Bowl highlights, some things to look at, as well as start talking about some of these quarterback type guys that we need to discuss tomorrow. And make sure Wednesday you're ready to hear Amy Trask and all she has to say. It's a great interview. We had a blast talking to her. So thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.